Now, Catherine Lana with us. She looks after our book club or our monthly, whatever we call it, Leslie's Readers. So she picks us a book, we all read it, and then we get together and have a chat about it. And this month's book was The Essex Serpent. Not only is it our read this month, it's also on the New Angle Prize for Literature shortlist, as you've been finding out, because I've spoken, I think, to all bar one of the authors nearly now. We're going to talk to all six of them by tomorrow night, and then I'll bring you the winner on Thursday. And the author of The Essex Serpent, Sarah Perry, she lives in Norwich and she's on the phone. Hello, Sarah.
Hello there. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, I know your book has been nominated and it was Waterstones Book of the Year and so on. So how does it feel to be nominated for this award?
Really wonderful. I'm really proud of being from East Anglia and where I live, and my writing is very much rooted in the kind of East Anglian landscape. So a prize like this sort of means a lot to me, really.
And the first one, you're After Me Comes the Flood, that won the East Anglian Book of the Year as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. They can't shift me off the, East Anglian scene.
So what is it about this part of the world that inspires you?
Well, I was born and brought up in Essex, so the kind of East of England landscape is part of my soul, really. The marshland and the kind of slightly eerie landscape. I'm not really happy in mountains. I like everything to be flat. So it's something that's very familiar to me and part of my memory and part of my makeup, and something that I just find incredibly inspiring. So,
did you ever come across the Essex Serpent then?
I never have, but I've been out on a boat on the around Mersey Island, which is a really eerie part of the landscape, and you could well believe that it might be coming for you. So, yeah, I could imagine, you know, late at night after a drink, I might imagine I saw it out there.
That's exactly the sort of the theme of the book, is it? Do you want to just, without spoil it, just for those who've not read it, so to just tell us what it's about?
Yeah, sure. So it's drawn from a real legend. So in the 17th century, the village of Henham on the Mount was menaced by some kind of weird serpentine beast. And they made this incredible leaflet saying strange news out of Essex, warning about this monster. And you can see it in the British Library. And when I heard about it, I immediately thought, what if the Essex Serpent came back? So the premise of the novel is that it's the very end of the 19th century, when debates around science and reason were really at the forefront. And there were rumours that the Essex Serpent has come back to the Blackwater estuary. So a woman called Cora Seaborn goes down to Essex to try and find it.
She's such a fantastic character, isn't she? I'm just going to say to Catherine, chip in as well, because Catherine is a journalist. She loves her books and has her own website and so on. And we're both saying how much we like this. And Cora, for me, a fantastic character. She's a woman who likes to go and find fossils. She doesn't want to be a woman's woman as such, does she?
That's right. And she's very much drawn on what women in the 19th century were actually like. We have this false kind of almost a folk memory of what women were like in the 19th century. You know, little trapped, dainty little women in a gilded cage, you know, hemming handkerchiefs all day. And actually, by the end of the 19th century, women were training in medicine. They were working in science and maths and engineering. They were very active in politics. And, you know, Mary Anning was really the sort of founding mother, as it were, of paleontology. And she'd been around for sort of 40 or 50 years by the time this book had been set. So I wanted to revive people's ideas of what Victorian women were like.
But there are so many different themes in the book as well. I mean, you have got the element of science and faith and the role of women and marriage and friendship and medical advances. There are just so many different themes that you've brought up in the book, as well as having this mythical creature drawing us through the pages. How did you manage to convey so much and yet not lose that strong plot? Because you can get distracted sometimes if there are too many things in a book, can't you?
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't think it was a distraction. Years and years ago, when I was only about 22, my boss at the time, I was working as a PA in a university, and my boss, who was a wonderful woman called Stella, who encouraged me to write, she said, "You have a mind like flypaper," and she just meant that, you know, everything sticks to my mind. And I'm just interested in so much stuff, and I assume that my readers are going to be interested in lots of things too. So it's just a delight to me to give the reader fun and, you know, a plot and a mystery and characters that they can believe in, but also to talk about some of the really exciting ideas that we all think about this stuff. So, yes.
But the characters are so vivid as well. I mean, when I read something about how you came up with the idea of going on a car journey and you first discovered this place and heard about the serpent. But when I read that, it was just after finishing the book, and I thought, well, yes, of course you would come up with this story, because the characters at that point were so vivid to me. They actually felt real. So, again, how do you create such real characters in the reader's mind?
Tend to do is work from the point of the story backwards. So I wanted someone to hunt for this creature, and I wanted it to be someone who was an atheist and interested in Darwin. And then I started thinking about Mary Anning, so I thought, well, it'll be a woman then. And then I wanted her to disrupt the peace of mind of somebody, and I thought, well, it'd be good if that was a man. Maybe he can be a vicar. And then I thought, well, medicine is really interesting. Medicine's quite a ripe for narrative, ripe for interest. Well, I'll have a surgeon then. So it was very much plot and story first, and then finding the characters who could carry those ideas. And then as soon as I knew that I wanted a surgeon, then they just sort of came alive for me, really.
I was going to say, as you write, do they come to life? Do you know the ending and so on? Does that all happen while you're writing?
Mostly I know beforehand, so I have quite an odd way of working, and I've just finished my third novel, and I've done three novels like this now, which is really to not begin to write the book until I pretty much know what's going to happen. So I don't mean every single subplot and every scene, but generally speaking, the main areas of conflict, the main narrative, I know how it's going to go. But then when you get down to the level of detail, you suddenly realise, hang on a second, if this character actually has already said that they don't like this, then they wouldn't be doing it here. So you have to kind of be quite humble and adapt it as you go.
I find it fascinating. Another author I was talking to, one of the shortlisted authors the other day, doesn't do that at all. They just let the book take them on the journey. It's absolutely fascinating, really fascinating. We've run out of time, Sarah, but thank you so much for joining us. Good luck. Are you there tomorrow night? Are you there tomorrow
night? Thank you. I'll be there, yes.
I will see you tomorrow night.
Lovely. Thank you so much for having me on.
No worries. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sarah Perry, her book is The Essex Serpents, one of the six shortlisted for the New Angle Prize for Literature. And we liked it, didn't we?
Fantastic book. I want to read it again, actually. It's so good.
It's so rich. And as you say, there are so many things happening in it. Lynn wrote and said, this is a well-written and satisfying book to read. So many strange and wonderful characters, beautifully interwoven and brought to life amidst the harshness and strangeness of life on the Essex marshes. In London, there are big social shifts and surgical breakthroughs, but on the Blackwater, fear of the unknown monster causes an outbreak of hysteria and the hanging of horseshoes on Traitor's Oak. The characters are so vivid, I felt I knew them personally, and I wanted to know what became of them, and I thought the author achieved this with great warmth at the end of the book, and I would definitely recommend it.
Brilliant.
Good review, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, very
review.
Good.
And you had one quick one, didn't you, as well?
So Michael says, I would strongly recommend The Essex Serpent. I was very sceptical about the story of a serpent in Essex, but it turned out to be credible, though not in the way I expected, he said. great plot, good imagery and brilliant characterisation.
Brilliant. So we'll come back and just find out what our next book is, what you've chosen for me to read this time. It's like a voyage of discovery.